Now may the words of my mouth and meditations in our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. You can forget those bridesmaids. I'm not talking about that. I don't understand it. I do have a question for you, though. When you get up in the morning and you're getting dressed, do you do shoe, sock, or do you do sock, sock, shoe, shoe? Just think about it. Those of you who traveled the path of discernment to formation and finally ordination with me have heard me say that as a mere deacon, I am no theologian. I don't study the different theological principles, at least not with intent. But as I live and minister in this broken world, I would be a fool to say I do not recognize them from time to time or am not affected by them. As laity, you too are confronted by these ideas on a daily basis. Unfortunately, the principle that strikes me of late is one called the Epicurean paradox. This idea goes something like this. If God is willing to prevent evil but not able, then he is not omnipotent. If he is able but not willing, then he is malevolent. If he is both willing and able, then from where comes evil? If he is neither willing nor able, then why call him God? One of the rebuttals to this paradox is the free will defense. It holds that creatures must decide their behaviors and beliefs. In other words, God creates our world, but as humans, we choose our own behaviors and beliefs. Of course, these thoughts all emanate from me, from the acts of a man last week in a small town in my home state of Texas. But the discussion does not need to be limited to that. We can recall 9/11, Columbine, World War II, the Civil War, the French Revolution, the Crusades. We can even go back to the story of Cain and Abel to find the existence of evil in our world. These events simply give us a window, if you will, as to what our human response is to those happenings. So setting aside the Epicurean question for a moment, think about this. Is evil more prominent in the world today than in times past? I don't have the answer to that. But I do think it is a question that begs asking. And to go a step further, does evil actually exist as its own entity, just kind of floating around out there in the world? Or does evil require a catalyst, a vector, if you will, such as the human heart, in which to grow and prosper? In the story by William P. Young entitled The Shack, the main character Mac is dealing with exactly this paradox. He is struggling with how God, the Almighty, creator of all that is, seen and unseen, how he can allow evil to impact the life of an innocent child. As the story unfolds, Mac gets to meet the Trinity, the Big Three. Each of the three, using their specific gifts, assist Mac to realize that even when evil is working horrendous deeds through the human spirit, God remains there with us. While we may not be privy to his intervention in such happenings, he is there, and we should not judge him based on our wishes or needs. Now let me give some accolades to William P. Young for his handling of this subject. The idea of the Trinity, or at least the idea of trying to describe it, is one that even the most seasoned priests will avoid if possible. The Sunday that we call Trinity Sunday is a popular day for regular ministers to take that long-needed Sunday off, let a layperson or a deacon preach. For to try to describe the Trinity with any sort of authority begs the label of heretic. But what William P. Young does in The Safety of Fiction is give us a starting place, a point of reference, if you will, to begin the discussion of the interaction of God, the Christ, and the Spirit, not only among themselves, but with the world at large, and then eventually even to their individual interactions with us. Do I think he has the answer? I'm not going to utter a heresy. I'll leave that question right where it lays. But as we start unpacking that, then maybe we can see that the evil acts that seem to occur oh so frequently, while not ordained by God, are indeed part of this event that we call life. Our response to those events, our acknowledgement that we don't have all the answers and only see and judge the world from our warped perspective, is what will determine whether we say no to evil or if we perpetuate it. One of the hardest expected Christian actions is that of forgiveness. Retribution, revenge, punishment, getting even, kicking butt. These are all human responses that come naturally and make us temporarily feel oh so good. But if we are to believe the teaching of a Nazarene carpenter who lived in days of yore, we have to use love to deal with evil. And that is what will allow us to meet others in their human condition.